You are listening to KC Sports Network, proudly presented by Emprise Bank. Coming up, the latest episode of Benny and the Bets.
What is good, people? Benny and the Bets for week 11 of the National Football League and beyond. Friend of the show, Adam Rosenberg, is with us. Amanda, you should be following all over the different social media channels, but probably more in particular on Twitter at Hey Rosenberg. I feel like when I introduce you, not only are you a valued friend and a sharp of sharps, but you do a thousand things, and then I feel like I have them listed, and then on top of a thousand things, there's another 500 things. And so I feel like it's going to sound lazy, but I kind of want to just tee you up to say, hey, Rosenberg, where the hell can I find you besides everywhere?
Well, I mean, you know, hey, Rosenberg, that's how the brand works. Look, I mean, I think the only thing that I just do that makes it seem like I'm doing a lot of things is just that I bring all my friends together. Well, you know this well. And so it's like, if I meet somebody who like should meet someone else, I don't leave it there. I'm like, no, Benny, you need to meet Javon. I'm like, no, you got to meet. So like, we make it happen.
Sports betting kingmaker.
I'm a mocker. I'm a sports betting mocker.
A mocker and a matchmaker, like all rolled into one.
And I say this with pride, with a little bit of like the sports betting's Regina George in there, just a little tiny bit of it, like just enough. Just enough of like, someone actually called me that. Someone said, you're the Regina George of gambling Twitter. And I was like, wow. I love that. And so.
of all the different people that I think, that's actually a really interesting question. Like, if you could be any character from Mean Girls represented in sports betting, who would you be? I feel like Regina would be the person that you'd want to be. Like, nobody else had... I guess he had some redeeming qualities, but she kind of gave in to everybody. She's like, I kind of want to just, you know, give out plays for free. And I feel like that's the right thing to do. And then she gets suckered into, you know, creating content behind a paywall.
Yes, basically. Yeah. Well, I was talking to somebody else today that the sheer irony in the fact, like in watching gambling Twitter touts essentially weaponize their Discords. When Discord was created to open and free message each other, like that's what it's meant to do for specifically for gaming, and to watch touts turn it into gatekeeping via paid services is ironic, hilarious, all of the above, and fight over it. It's just wild to me. So
when we last talked, we actually kind of had a conversation about this. And by the way, for those of you that are just joining us, or maybe you were skipping ahead in the beginning and realized you went a little bit too far. This is Benny and the Bets. We are presented by PXG. You should be able to head on over, check them out over at PXG, PXG Kansas City. By the way, I was also thinking about this. I kind of want to be Kevin Napoor. Like, that Ooh. Would be the actual dude you want to be.
That's a good one, yeah.
Right? Oh, leader of the match?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, like, that's a good call. Yeah. I mean,
Regina would be fun because you know what Regina could do? Regina could just, you just have whatever bankroll you want.
And yeah, I mean, like, but I can just have more. The thing is like Kevin DePoor is going to have like a cool jacket that says like Bet Leads or whatever on the back of it. And like, he's going to
show up on a show wearing rocking an old school Eagles jersey.
Absolutely. With I've had some a very good run of wins that have gotten actually limited, but it's been a good time. And so I turned around and, you know, there's stuff. It's all stuff I sent you. It's not like weird. It's just like,
no, I know, but
smart correlated. It's just like I take very clear advantage whenever there's a boost on a book. I make a correlated parlay, period. Like, I'm not looking to get something that's 22-1. I don't even need something that's 15-1. I look for something that's between 5-1 and 7-1, and it's correlated. If this, then that, boom. Okay. And specifically in college football and some other things, and some NFL props, they've hit like crazy for me to the point where I was like, oh, I did a lot of them on Fanatics book. and they give you, Fanatics has a great loyalty program. If you bet on it, you get stuff for their store. And I've needed a new Eagles jersey forever. And I wanted this one. I wanted it in time for this show. I wanted it in time for the game on Monday. And then I got my wife a Celtics sweater. So, like, she's happy.
And I mean, you can have the green. You can wear it throughout the course of the holiday season.
Absolutely.
Everybody wins. All right. Here's what we're going to talk about today, in addition to probably whatever else crosses our mind. We'll start off the show by kind of taking a look at things that have sort of stood out to us over the course of whether it be the first half plus of the NFL season. I want to talk to you about this wild run of unders, particularly primetime unders that we're on, and whether you think there's going to be any correlation to the game on Monday night, with, I think, the defenses of both these teams really not being discussed enough. We'll obviously talk Chiefs and Eagles from a variety of components at the end of the show. Of course, we'll go through some of our favorite plays. And also, we're in the midst of really good NBA stuff. College basketball is underway. Yeah. We're wrapping up college football. I think what I love about talking to you is that you're so tuned in with the industry in general and about sort of where conversation is going. So I guess let's start on the NFL side. You know, we had Evan Abrams, guy that I know you used to work
with. Yeah. Evan's real smart. I've quoted Evan a lot because he does the hard stuff.
He does. And it was funny. I reached out to him after the show and I was like, hey, I came across this observation about Chiefs and Eagles this week. You know, let me know if you end up stumbling across it. And he's like, yeah, no, I was actually thinking about the same thing. So did you know that this game on Monday night is the first time since 1995 that two teams who have not been underdogs all season long are playing against each other for the first time after 9 weeks? So your sample goes back.
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool? Like, we're going back now 28 years, and the only reason that happened was you had an injury on one side, I think, for Dallas and San Francisco. And Dallas, I think, was a 12-point favorite in that game, ended up losing outright because Troy Aikman got injured in the first quarter. So that's the sort of stuff that you can find with Evan. But we also talked about sort of the under trend. When you're looking at some of these numbers, especially like 70-something percent right now in primetime unders for the season. Yeah.
I think it's 70. It's like 70% the last two seasons. It's 20. This is definitely going to get
29 football special.
24-20. It's 24-7 overall this year. I mean, anecdotally, if you're a bookmaker, it makes sense because no one wants to bet unders, and these are island games, and this. I mean, you're not trying to do it, but you want to set a number that's going to go under. Offenses have been down across the league. I saw a stat earlier. I think it's like a record number of different rushing touchdowns. Different players have had rushing touchdowns this year, something like that. It was like something insane. And, you know, that is, I don't know if that's a testament to better defenses or just different worse quarterback play or just worse overall play. Like, conditions or something haven't been bad, but offenses are down across the board. We're not having a Mahomes record-breaking year. Like, even this Chiefs team is like, they're arguably at least the second best team in the league, and they have. You wouldn't say that about the wide receiving core. You wouldn't say that about this thing. No. It's like, it's not. Things don't feel that way versus last year, where it was like, I remember exactly when I knew that Patrick Mahomes was the MVP of the season, even though obviously I'm a big Jalen Hurts fan. And it was when he threw this bomb in week 9 or 10. They were playing the Chargers, and he threw this bomb to Mecole Hardman. And I'm very, very sorry to everybody who I know who listens, who's probably like, might be a big Mecole Hardman fan because you're all Chiefs fans. But like, Mecole Hardman would not have anything without Patrick Mahomes. Like, I'm sorry. Like, he wouldn't. And so all I could think of is Patrick Mahomes literally has these guys around him that no one would ever have heard of if he wasn't absolutely incredible. And, but, you know, it's just, that being said, guys are all dinged up. I think Burrow just got hurt his hand, like, you know, live breaking news. So it's kind of a different thing. And it's not as if penalties are up. It's not as if soft plays are happening. It's just scoring is way, way down. And so with that come those unders.
Yeah. The number specifically, as I pulled up Evan's article, Monday Night Football games, 11-1 to the under so far in 2023. 56-28-1 since 2019. By the way, I also pulled up those quarterbacks that played in 95. Chiefs fans will remember this name, Elvis Gerback.
Elvis Gerback.
That game for the 49ers. It was not Steve Young. It was, in fact, Elvis Gerback. I mentioned Troy Aikman started that game, but he left in the first quarter. So Wade Wilson took over, wow. And the Cowboys were not minus 12, they were minus 13. And they ended up losing the game outright. As far as, all right, so the scoring obviously is down. And, you know, a couple weeks ago, we had Rafael Esparza, a long time.
Oh, nice.
Really, really good dude as well. And we were also talking about sort of the list of MVP candidates and whether or not this actually might be the year where you go against the grain, move off of the quarterback. And obviously, like, no Tyreek Hill for a week. The numbers kind of move a little bit. CMC not getting to the end zone last week brought his line a little bit down. And then you have the emergence of CeeDee Lamb these last three games. I put a little bit on Tyreek Hill at 50-1 just because I felt like, why not? The record could still be broken. And it's still a dynamic year. But what would have to happen for a quarterback this season to not walk away with the MVP? Do you see any possibility? Like, where would you list sort of your overall prospects here?
I think the most... people got to remember there's a difference between like MVP and Offensive Player of the Year. Offensive Player of the Year is cleaner. It's stat driven. MVP is kind of narrative combined with, you know, how this team does. Like, what has this guy been to this team to make it happen? Which is why, like I said, like Patrick Mahomes, it has nothing to do with the fact that he threw like 40 bombs or whatever he did last year. It's that the guys that he was surrounded by last year outside of Travis Kelce, I mean, like, let's be honest, like, who?
You had a good year, and look what's happening right now in New England.
I mean, people have made their careers off doing that. It's so I think that the only wild card in it that could potentially become the MVP is CJ Stroud. And I know that that just is weird because he's a rookie in those things, but like he's kind of filling both those. He's the only one. I mean, I see that more likely than a non-quarterback. Is because as I go through, the Niners are still able to win without CMC. It's how are your team? Is your team able to win without this guy versus is this guy putting up gaudy stats? And you know, the Houston Texans are not able to win without CJ Stroud, and he's doing incredible things along with it. The Niners, for better or worse, have actually won without CMC being able to score a touchdown. I do like him as Offensive Player of the Year. The Dolphins aren't able to beat good teams, so that kind of takes Tyreek Hill out of it for me. You have a preferred book? Is there a preferred book?
Sportsbook.
DraftKings
is yours.
DraftKings is. I'm just putting it up as I put in the code so I can just see what's on there.
I have a list in front of.
Okay, yeah. Who's on there? That's a non quarterback that you got in front of you.
Okay, so the first name down would be McCaffrey, and at DraftKings he's all the way down. It's probably the lowest number in any book right now at 18-1. You can still, if you shop around, you can get CMC for at 50-1. Actually, I see him at one book. After that, it's Tyreek at 40-1. AJ Brown on that list, he's actually fairly high at DraftKings at 100-1. And then everybody else, there's really no real consideration or reasonable consideration at this point.
There's a way to think about it, though. Like, this Monday is going to be really important because, like, I said this on my pod, but, like, Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes are tied. One of them is going to probably be eliminated from the MVP consideration after this game on Monday. And to your point about, like, CMC... Let's say Hurts wins. Yeah, and Mahomes probably moves then. Hurts certainly moves to minus 125. Mahomes probably moves a little bit to like plus 400 or something like that. Or at very worst, Hurts is probably plus 125. But then when CMC in 2 weeks plays the Eagles, let's say CMC goes for 150 and 3 touchdowns and the Eagles just get mud stomped at home, that's going to flip that too, because like marquee wins are super, super important to this. And that's why that's something that's not being talked about on Monday. Like if you right now is a great time to get in the MVP race. If you have not made a bet all year, because you have a bunch of marquee games that are coming up that are going to define how the odds are going to look for that race.
That's a really good point, that more often than not, unless unless you were right on it from the start of the year, more often than not, at least at this point of the season, you know who your main contenders are. And I think you can make a very legitimate argument that this MVP race is as wide open as it's been in how many years. Stroud is really interesting. Like, he's second in the NFL right now in passing yards. Best touchdown interception ratio in the league. He's not completing a lot of his, 61.6% of his passes, but it's very evident to your point that he is the reason why Houston is in the situation that they are in two key late drives. Also, bringing them back to the win certainly goes without saying. You know what else I'm wondering about too? As it regards to not just scoring being down, turnovers are way up. Turnovers on the offensive side are way up.
Thank you, Josh Allen.
Josh Allen, 11 interceptions. Tua's got 7. I don't think he had 7 all season long. Mahomes already has 8. Jalen Hurts is 8.
Jalen Hurts is over his total from last year.
Yeah. We also just might be at the point where there's an inevitable flip over to so much attention been paid to offenses that the league goes and shifts, as in any league. Like, sometimes, the NBA, for example, is so much defensive-oriented content for a while, and then this three-point movement and evolution comes along, and then games are averaging, in the 115 range. Now you're starting to see a little bit more of a shift back towards defense.
We just had back-to-back national champion that had a prolific defense that's now distributed across, well, it's in the Eagles, a lot of them, but it's distributed across the league. Some of that stuff has happened. I mean, that's part of it, probably.
Oh, for sure. All right, so on the other side of this, we're going to continue to go through some notable observations from a betting perspective that both Adam and I have taken away for the NFL. We'll also get his thoughts on some of the other leagues kicking off, both in college basketball and the NBA. Trends that you can be aware of to put yourself in a nice, ideal spot for the rest of the season and beyond. And of course, we'll go through some of our favorite plays for the NFL, notably Chiefs and Eagles. Stay with us. He's Adam Rosenberg. I'm Ben Heisler. This is Benny and the Bets, presented by PXG.
Thanks for listening to KC Sports Network. Make sure you download our new app. Find it on the App Store or Google Play. Just search KC Sports Network.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, my guy Adam Rosenberg is back with a second appearance here on Benny and the Bets. So it is
like hosting Saturday Night Live.
Yes, exactly. you're three more away from. How many do you have to get to Christopher Walken status? He's
the Jackie.
Is he the all-time leader, or is it
like Paul Simon's in that group? Christopher Walken's in that group. Steve Martin's in that group. They do a hard bit about it. It's great.
Yeah, is Adam Sandler in that group as well?
He may not be, but
he came back, but
Chevy Chase is probably part of it. A lot of the older guys who are like part of it are in that group that are like, we hosted and we starred. So,
Alec Baldwin.
Alec Baldwin
was the most prolific host. He has hosted 17 times between 1990 and 2017.
Good find. Good find.
Yeah. But he probably won't be back for a while.
Yeah, he's in hiding.
Is it too soon? Too soon to talk about them?
I was talking about him yesterday with somebody as a really good, easy person to work with. And then they ironically used the term shot, but they weren't doing it in the way that I thought. So,
yeah, it's like, oh, when you're sleep deprived, some of those like nuances just,
they catch up
to you a little bit on the later side. So before we dive back into the NFL, obviously we're in the midst of college football. You'd mentioned some of the correlated plays that you'd been out throughout the course of the year with a lot of the boosts that some of these books are offering. We're also in the early stages of college basketball and NBA as well. Just from an overall perspective, besides football, is there a sport at this time of year that you really like to zone in on, whether it be for any sort of market inefficiency, opportunity where you feel like you're in a little bit more control of the line, you can react a little bit quicker than the sports books do? What do you like to try and focus on this time of year?
So, like I wear a lot of hats, like I said, I am like a betting analyst. Primarily like been an MLB guy, but I've been trying to expand it to more things. And this year I'm getting more into college basketball and college football. The stuff that I've noticed you can really key in on is props in hockey and props in the NBA. And for hockey, everyone loves shots on goals. What I've keyed in on is saves for goalies, because then I don't have to worry about a single player take going off. All I gotta do is worry about this goalie staying in the game the whole time and not being pulled, which is actually pretty rare. So that's been fun. And playing around a lot more on NBA on rebound props and things like that. But those are the kind of the markets that I'm consistently like laying a bet. Like, what am I looking to attack? And it's funny, I just don't play like for college football is where I play more sides than anything, just because the spots are much more interesting. It's like letdown spot, it's conference thing and stuff like that. Like, I don't even play sides for NFL anymore. But I definitely do it for, yeah.
I didn't know that that's not an area that you enjoy as much.
It's just not as much. I mean, I do, but like, I'm in like a bunch of ATS like pools. So it's like, rather than play those every week, I'm like, oh, well, I get to pick a slate of, it's part of the pool. So I haven't gotten as into the sides. Also, because just the quarterback play and stuff's been bad, it's just been more challenging to me of like, what do I think this game script is? And then nailing that game script of like, oh, if the Chiefs are up by 40 points in the fourth quarter, who's the check down running back on the other team that's going to be getting receptions? And like, oh, it's Rashad Johnson. So like, and that cashed like a pretty big parlay for me. But that's kind of how I've been doing things.
That's really interesting, especially from the live perspective, I did that, I think, a couple weeks ago with Breece Hall, who was in a dynamic matchup, and they just didn't get on the ball at all. And I think Michael Carter, who they just released, I think on four
to send a message. I don't know what the message was that they sent, but
yeah, strange message.
Very strange message.
But he's now gone, but he certainly took away some of those pass catching opportunities that Breece Hall could have had and maybe could have actually done something with. But That's a really good call, especially heading into the fourth quarter of a lot of these different games. Because if you're right, if you nail a game script, and especially if there's somebody that you like, Jerick McKinnon was that guy for me a lot last year in Kansas.
Oh yeah,
but his usage rate was so much larger last year than it was this year, and it's surprising to me given their struggles on offense. Like, that's a dude with burst in the middle of the field that is clearly comfortable in both pass blocking and run blocking situations, that you can feel secure in dumping off the ball, where if you don't trust your wide receivers, you got a guy that can break away in the middle of the field that's a really good route runner, and they just haven't used him at all. So that's another component too, is the guys that maybe we thought were a little bit more reliable over the last few years, the stable of pass catching running backs now that we're trying to become accustomed to has grown exponentially over the last.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, last week I cashed a pretty big same-game parlay with the Broncos where, look, like Samaje Perine's like known as that pass-catching back. He was MIA until 3 minutes were left in the fourth quarter, and it was Jaleel McLaughlin who was catching all these passes. And I had him, I'd bet his, he was like, to get two catches, he'd gotten like three straight weeks of four catches, and to get two catches, he was plus money. And I was like, I'm definitely taking this. And I took it, and I, in my parlay, I had Sabathia, and I'm just thinking like, oh, did this guy get kicked off the team? And then sure enough, he like returns to form, and he get, and like on that final drive, he has like three catches for 30 yards. And it's, you know, I'm trying to think about it, but like, I don't even remember a lot of running backs getting over 100 yards anymore on the ground. Like they're all, it's all through, it's like Jerry McKinnon style. It's like, I'm going to do this. I think what's funny is that I'm not trying to gas you guys up, but it's one of the reasons why I think that like, I think that Isaiah Pacheco is elite. I think he is so good. And I still think he's criminally undervalued across the league because he's one of the rare running backs that still runs. And like him and Breece Hall, I think are the two best running backs in the league. If I had to like, you know, really, really get into guys who are explosive who can do something.
Yeah. I'd maybe still consider putting Jacobs on that list in Las Vegas.
Maybe. It's
but that's also a guy that's been a little bit more run into the ground, and you just don't know and trust the stability. Like Derrick Henry is still amongst the top running backs, but again, it's because the nature of the running back position is so drastically different that like he's just a load to bring down, even though he's lost a step and can't stay healthy. Like, will he still run for 1,000 yards on a terrible, terrible Titans team? It wouldn't surprise me because like, that's how they're going to play, especially with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. Yep. Nope. I agree.
What about, okay. So you got to set this up well for diving into this game, but before we do that, I guess looking down the slate, is there any other matchup this week before we dive into the Monday night game between the Chiefs and the Eagles that has caught your attention, that has led to a prop in the market that you still feel is available and undervalued? Collectively, the slate as a whole, I know it's still, you know, late Thursday as we're recording this podcast, but for the rest of the slate, what catches your eye?
So the first thing that catches my eye is that you have a lot of you have multiple long spreads. So the game scripts in some of these games is predicting a blowout, which means that you can have a lot of fun. Like, for example, like Buffalo is favored by 7 at home. The Niners favored by 12 at home. The Commanders are favored by 8. The Commanders should not be laying 9 points to anybody, but they're laying 9 to Tommy DeVito and the Giants. But the thing that completely catches my eye, and I know probably been talked about a lot this week, is that the Browns are starting a quarterback who I do love. I love DTR. I do love Dorian Thompson. But he had a horrific first start, and they're against the Steelers, and they are still favorites. The Steelers are still dogs in this game. There is the prop that I took in that game early, and I'm looking right now to see on DraftKings like what it is, what it's at. But I took the over 2.5 turnovers at -150. Because you have a quarterback who has thrown picks against this team, and you also have another quarterback who the only time he started, he threw 3 interceptions and had 7 turnover-worthy plays. It was like a little, it was obviously like pretty juiced, but it was something I was looking at. And like I think that it's just interesting because the Browns, like both these teams are in it. Like the Browns just can't like pack up their season. So they'll probably try to at least be competitive. Just really interesting to me that a quarterback that we saw usually when a quarterback's out, like Watson was out that first time and the market moved 6 points. And we're like, oh, it's an overreaction, but it wasn't an overreaction. It actually was an underreaction. The guy was terrible. And this line moved less than it did when Watson was ruled out. And now we're like, we don't know. Like we have a proof point. We have a proof of concept to know, like at least as a baseline, is this guy good or not, or what the value is. So I think that there's going to be some fun stuff in that game. I also just have a soft spot for the Steelers team just because, you know, they're just, I like TJ Watt. I'm a big TJ Watt guy. So we'll see. But that's stuff that I'm identifying some things on this weekend. I usually wait till Thursday practice notes to really start doing anything because you get a sense of like who's going to be playing and who isn't. But I've circled that one as one of the games I'm going to be probably betting more than I should. So,
pretty crazy. The numbers for Kenny Pickett, 13-8 in his career straight up, 14-7 against the spread, despite just paltry offensive numbers. just,
I think he's hurt.
Yeah. And by the way, another note from, oh, go ahead.
No, no, I was just saying, like, I mean, we watched him last year and he had like spark. And like, if you, he's not getting really far throws, which indicates probably a hip injury. But last year he was like last year, like a way worse Steelers team last year, he helped make, you know, what, 500 or something like that. And it's sort of like with Mac Jones. Like, I don't think Mac Jones is this bad. I think Mac Jones is trying to actively get himself kicked off the Patriots. But I don't think Kenny Pickett is this bad. I think Kenny Pickett's hurt.
That's fair. Because something has lift off pretty much the
Something's lifted
year.
Completely. Like, he just doesn't have any, he has like no power in any of his throws. And like, I never thought he was great. Like, I was like, this guy's going to be like Josh Rosen. But then I saw him play and I was like, he's not that bad. And I just think he's hurt. I think a lot of these guys are hurt. Jalen Hurts is hurt, you know? A lot of these guys are hurt. That's the other thing. You know, they're all playing through it.
As an underdog, which this will always be the narrative for the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, 57, 32, and 4 against the spread, 47 and 46 straight up. That, to me, that's even more impressive than the record against the spread, that if you go into a game as a dog and you have a 500 record, slightly above 500 record, pretty remarkable. Also, the total in this game, like we buried the
lead. Oh, yeah. It's like 34, right? 33.
and dropping, because it's going to be 10 plus mile hour winds in Cleveland that day.
Oh, man. I mean, I'm looking down on this list too. And I mean, forget about that one. Like, Josh Dobbs now has two, like, come from behind victories, has proven that he has proven over the course of a year on two different teams that he can be signed off the street and perform. And the Vikings are getting points against the Broncos, who we had left for dead up until last week, and they beat the Chiefs and they did this. And it's just like, that is just a wild, I mean, I would have put this as probably, I would have favored the Vikings in this. Vikings have been getting better. I think that's it. I mean, I don't know if this Bills team should be laying 7 points at home to a Jets team that has a top four defense. Like, this is, some of these lines are a little bit, now that I'm looking at them, are pretty off. So, at least in my mind.
Either that, or you feel like you're walking into one. With the Vikings, this is a perfect opportunity to dive into this, because I have a play on the Vikings that is going into my play for the Chiefs and the Eagles. But
okay,
before I get to that, Adam, can you believe that we're already this deep in the NFL season?
Dude, it flew by.
It's amazing, right? And so I feel like, I speak for both of us and certainly everybody listening and watching this show, that we have to make every second count. And you can do that with our friends over at DraftKings Sportsbook. You can make the most out of every game day by betting on your favorite teams for a shot at winning big bucks. New customers can still score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on any matchup. Of course, the game this week in Kansas City right now, the Eagles, yeah, as we record this show, 2.5-point dogs against Kansas City on Monday Night Football. Total has been dropping in this game, by the way, as well, right now at 45.5. So a lot of different ways that you can go, but you can all get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the National Football League. Download the app now. Use the code KCSN. New customers can score $150 instantly in bonus bets just for betting $5 on the NFL, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code KCSN. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369. In West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Just call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, you must be 21 or older in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details and state-specific responsible gambling resources. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after they are issued. Terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/football terms. Okay, legalese out of the way. Let's dive into the actual matchup. I mentioned that I have something that's correlated with the Sunday night game into the Monday night game. I'm teasing both of the underdogs this week. Lightning at 8.5.
I like the
Eagles at 8.5. And again, DraftKings, one of the things I love about them is that if you are going to bet a teaser, you are going to get arguably the best line around it.
Yes, you will. You will.
In fact, I think that's undisputed. And Vikings, by the way, it's now down to 2. So be +8 for Minnesota, +8 for the Eagles. We've talked about the correlation on primetime unders. Unders with underdogs has been a very good trend for many years now, and especially with scoring down. Listen, we're talking about this game very differently, I think, on Sunday night, Adam, if the Buffalo Bills don't have 12 guys on the field. We might be talking about Minnesota as a pick 'em here, or maybe 1 point as opposed to 2, or maybe even more. So that changes the narrative here.
But let's
dive into this matchup itself, because here's what I'm curious to get your thoughts on sort of initially, and then we can dive into where you're going, either total, spread, props, whatever. I think if you're power ranking these teams right now, I would still have the Eagles over Kansas City, but I think in light of a lot of different things, Chiefs having the win in the Super Bowl, Chiefs being a public play more often than not, even more so than the Eagles, home advantage on Monday Night Football, Mahomes' record in prime time. Like, all these things are correlating into the line being where it is, but on a neutral field, I don't know if I would necessarily have Kansas City as an outright favorite here.
No, I think like the intangibles of them having beaten the Eagles make it so that it's really hard. This Eagles team's really special in that sense. The other thing is that things have been kind of flipped. Like the last year when they met, the Eagles had a better pass defense and, you know, had a pretty like prolific on both sides. They still have a great rush defense. Now, I don't think the Chiefs are getting enough respect, but they have the third passing defense DVOA. Like they have a very good passing defense. But the rushing defense has been having problems. I think that ESPN did a graphic where it was who's left the team since they played. And honestly, like Juju Smith-Schuster is like the only, like probably like the biggest name that anyone would care about. Like Fred Clark was on there, but it was like, whatever. I just think that these teams are, you know, pretty even in that sense, but this is kind of one of those things. I think it's a homerism, but I still think that the Eagles are going to kind of seize this moment. I think their wide receivers are so far and away offensively, it's just a lot better. And look, the Eagles love to commit to a run game, and that's something that the Chiefs haven't been able to stop all year. They've been beaten by that by almost every single team. But, you know, there's some plays and things here and there. I also think that it's kind of funny that, you know, Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift, who's from Philadelphia. People don't remember this or realize this. But what if all of this was just a campaign for this game? Because she's got Philly ties, and now she's got Chiefs ties, too.
I've heard that conspiracy theory. I've heard that narrative. My wife has gone down the extreme rabbit hole of everything Taylor Swift and everything Travis Kelce. To the point where I'm like legitimately concerned for her overall mental health and well-being regarding this. But it's very real. It's very spectacular. Somebody was asking me today. I did a radio hit in New Orleans, and they said,
"Oh, nice,
Bruce. Is the boost for Kansas City because the Travis's parents and Taylor's parents are going to be meeting each other for the first time?" Like,
is that the narrative? Is that what the publicist said?
There's a new narrative. Man, it's something changes every week. Honest to God, it really does. And I was like, maybe they're there because both of their kids.
Over their kid to be there, yeah.
I'm gonna just throw that. Maybe Taylor Swift's parents happens to be there, but like, I think this is a convenience factor, if anything else. So if
I would think so too.
Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift narrative is a result of that. I can't help you. And let's also face it, like Jason Kelce, not Travis Kelce, was just nominated for People's Sexiest Man.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Well, it's been good. And the Kelce documentary came out at the beginning of the season. I don't know, man. I mean, look, I'm a PR guy.
Yeah, and by the way,
our
guy Nick Springer has a sneaky suspicion that Taylor Swift might be out to sabotage Travis here. Which
I mean, but what does she gain by that? I mean, is like an NWO heel turn where she's like, she just reveals that she has a an Eagles jersey on underneath it, and she's just like, I'm from Reading, you know?
Can you imagine? Wait, can we talk about this for a second? We'll get to our best bets in just a second here. Can you? I just want to walk through this scenario with you. She's in the booth. It's with Kelsey's parents. They're going through. They're having a great time. She's got like her Chiefs windbreaker on. And then all of a sudden, the camera just zones in on her. And she gives like that little Taylor Swift look right into the camera. Unzips the windbreaker. And it's a Jason Kelsey jersey on.
Yeah.
Imagine.
My God. People would go nuts.
Oh. I would have... I mean, I know Chiefs fans and a lot of folks in the city would just be devastated. I admire Taylor Swift, but that would be the greatest heel turn in the history of heel turns.
That'd be a really
in heel.
That'd be an incredibly impressive heel turn.
Yeah, a heel turn in heels would be something that Heel turn in heels. Yeah, I'm gonna trademark that. Okay, so it sounds like you and I are both kind of on the same side here. Leaning towards Philadelphia. I don't know if I necessarily feel comfortable taking the Eagles +2.5. I feel much better taking them as part of the teaser.
Yeah.
But anything else you like for this game? Anything else that stands out within this matchup? You mentioned the run game for Philadelphia. Looking and pulling up some of the numbers here. Philadelphia top 5 in rushing touchdowns per game, 8th in rush yards per game. They're the number one team in the NFL converting on third down, and also number one on fourth down conversions. So that's going to be, I think, the most interesting test is how often are the Eagles getting themselves in favorable third down situations and keeping the Kansas City defense on the field? Because the Chiefs have been good at getting teams off the field on third down. They're top 11 in the league. But now you're going up against the number one team. If Philadelphia is sustaining drives at A.J. Brown or DeAndre Swift or whoever, Jalen Hurts is tush pushing his way on third and short, extending drives, hard for me to look at this matchup and say I don't like it for Philadelphia. I really do. I think this is a game that they could win very easily outright, and I don't think anyone would be surprised.
You know, and it's funny because like both these teams are actually like very similar in the red zone. They both have actually had red zone problems overall. They're yet still are tops in scoring because they're both making big plays happen at certain times. One of the things that I am looking at in this game, so like one of the angles that I like to do whenever I look at props now, I look for wide receiver threes or wide receiver twos that are doing production of the level above them. So I look for guy who is like the backup, but he is, you know, performing at a different level. And you get guys that kind of pop their heads up once in a while. Eagles have one of the highest ADOTs in the league. ADOT being that nerd stat, meaning average depth of target. I always call it a nerd stat. Sorry, guys. It is a nerd stat. But they're also very, very, and the Eagles are very bad at giving up explosive passing. I believe they are, I will pull it up right now, but they are, but explosive passing basically means passes that are complete that are 20 yards or more. They are 1, 2, 3, 4. They're about 27th, which is not good. So who am I looking at to do this? Our old friend Marquez Valdes-Scantling for over longest reception of 12.5 yards. He can get that one catch. He's been popping his head up lately. He got, first of all, he surpassed this against Miami in Germany. He did this against Denver, even in the loss. He did this against the Chargers. He's had like a 3-week run. And targets-wise... Look, man, he had 3 targets in Germany, 4 the week before, 5 that. He's kind of come alive. And he's exactly the kind of guy with a low number that basically when Patrick Mahomes is like, I'm looking for someone to do this, I'm looking for someone to make something happen, all you need is a 13-yard catch in this caches. And the Eagles are giving those up to a lot of people. So Marquez Valdes-Scantling, the MVS, over 12.5 longest reception.
I really like that play. And a guy that I've had some bad luck with on that bet before for that very reason. When he catches the ball, average depth of target is extremely long. They're going to, he's like, Adam, he's 14 catches for 249 yards this year. He's averaging just under 18 yards a catch. His reception, receiving yards, I think is listed as 18.5. this year. And so you're right. Like, yes, he only has three targets in the month of November, but he's averaging 11 yards on those plays, and Mahomes has to throw the ball to someone. And if you're expecting Philadelphia to put some sort of offensive pressure on Kansas City, why not go to a guy that actually was projected to have more receiving yards? The very popular name at the start of the season was Sky Moore. Everybody loves Sky Moore, including me. I was wrong about Sky Moore. Maybe I could still be right. But Valdes-Scantling was projected for 750 receiving yards this year. Maybe he doesn't get there, but at some point, they know how to use him. And
that's a really low number. That's a really low number for a guy who knows exactly what his role is.
Exactly. And 12 targets over his last three games, seven receptions in those games. So seven of his 14 receptions have come in the last 3 weeks. So I don't hate that play one bit. I think that's probably one that I'm going to be tailing at the end of this show as well. Good stuff, man. Always a lot of fun being able to do this together.
No, I was going to say, I think that what we should do is, because we're not going to be able to do it on the show, I think you and I should probably like do a collab of some other bets for this for Monday that we can kind of release together, like into the wild on X or something like that. I've started doing TikTok. We could do a TikTok together somehow. We could figure it out, but we owe it to ourselves to like collab on a couple of plays for this.
Okay. I'm fully on board with this.
Awesome. I love it.
All right. We'll make it happen. You guys should be following Adam. Check out his work. You can find him over at FTN. You can find him over on Twitter, on X, at Hey Rosenberg. Where else can they go? I'm trying to like load up my handy dandy list of
at Hey Rosenberg all over the place. I got a podcast, Bird and Berg Show. Sometimes I show up on SGPN just to cause trouble there. Usually I'm on VSiN once in a while, but you can find all my stuff at FTN. If you don't want to talk about sports, but you want to talk about PR, my day job is doing sports PR. So for Chalk and Dog, but you can just find me at Abe Rosenberg across all platforms.
You, by the way, if you're also looking for some very under the radar sharp plays at Babies Who Bet.
Oh yes. The babies are very sharp.
You can choose to fade Nora, ride with Moneyline Jake. I wouldn't ever fade Nora. I think she's too sharp of a kid, and I'll continue to.
But Jake's nickname is Tight End One, dude. He's tracking at that level of size, so you know.
We should all be so lucky.
Yeah,
I appreciate you, Adam. Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate it, man.
Thank you for listening to KC Sports Network. We appreciate your support. Don't forget to hit that follow button and leave us a review if you like what you heard. You can find all six of our channels covering the Chiefs, Royals, Sporting KC, and the KC Current, plus KU, K-State, or Mizzou by searching KCSN wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on YouTube. Entertain. Educate. Inform. KC Sports Network.
Grand Canyon University makes earning your degree possible with over 130 academic programs for traditional campus students, with more than 80 bachelor's programs offered online. GCU provides you with the personal support you need, from complimentary unofficial transcript evaluations within 24 business hours to scholarships, academic support, and your GCU graduation team, led by your own university counselor. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.